good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Oh, happy almost Friday. It's Bruce and Judy with you. Not quite as foggy this morning, although we're going to have a whole nother set of traffic issues. And we'll talk about Willie Wilson's gas giveaway a little bit later. But yeah, you're gonna run into some lines in some places. That goes without saying.
I'm going to try to get in line.
There you go. You better. You're probably already too late, for God's sakes, at 5:30. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. You know what's coming up, though? I thought this was amazing. The Price is Right, the game show. It is the longest running game show in the history of television. Did you know that it's celebrating 50 years on the air? September will be 50 years of The Price is Right, and they've given away $300 million in cash and prizes.
Come on down.
Important question is how many pets have been spayed or neutered.
Thank you, Bob Barker, for that. You know, pretty darn amazing. It's like it's its own stimulus package, for God's sakes. They've been doing it now for quite some time. Have you ever been on a game show? God forbid you've ever been on The Price is Right. 312-591-8900. Somebody's been on them.
So, you could never do The Price is Right.
Why?
You don't look at prices.
Right. I've just been $1.
Yeah,
$1. Although I am a person who does look at prices, and I never do well at that show.
There's an interesting documentary about a guy been on three times, and he studies it, and he's got like what would you call those, like flashcards of the price of bleep and everything, because some things are in rotation. You know, they bring back the washer dryer set, you know, or whatever it might be. And he had memorized like the price of everything. So when he actually gets picked on the show, it's not even fair. They're like, okay, get ready for the show. He goes, yeah, that's $683.22. And they're like, okay, you got that right. Like, how did you get it exactly right? He memorized the price of everything.
That's crazy.
Of everything.
I feel like the mistake he made, too, was getting the exact price.
Right. If you were off by a little bit, they go, oh, he's kind of,
yeah. Yeah, but, just go like $3 under.
Right.
$5
You're still going to win.
Wait, yeah. Was this for his audition?
No.
No, he was picked.
Oh, he was, well, there was a mistake they made. They should have known that when they auditioned.
Yeah, he was a little too obvious, I would argue, about it. You know, that he maybe needed.
My favorite all-time, I loved Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That was like one of my favorite shows. That was a show like, you know, most game shows, if they're on, I watch them. I don't put them on usually. I know my mom.
You stumble across
my
them.
Mom did, so I watched what she watched during the afternoon. But I love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because the first guy who won $1 million, do you guys remember this? You got to call in a lifeline.
It
was one of your things, yeah. So they asked the question, and he said, I'd like to use my lifeline. And he called his dad, and his dad answered, and he said, Dad, I'm about to win $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so perfect.
Your question, how many beans are in a pod? Is it three? Is that your final answer? I'm Regis Philbin.
Come on, leave Regis alone. Good.
And you know, speaking of Regis, I think a lot of these shows, especially, you know, The Price is Right, it does come down to the host.
Sure.
It's the host, right? It's exactly. And whether, I mean, I don't know. There's something about The Price is Right, down from the music they first start playing to Bob Barker, who's always just happy and smiling, and the contestants who are, I don't know, they pick a certain contestant, right?
Oh, yeah. They're looking for a certain type.
And
they cast for it.
Exactly. Like, remember Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah, I
watched that because of how the people dressed up. It became a thing, right?
Oh, yeah, they
right.
still do it. They still do it with...
Oh, is that still on?
Yeah, Wayne Brady's the host.
Oh, my goodness
I
gracious.
Loved watching that in college because my classes wouldn't start till about 12:30. So I was like, well, we'll make some cereal, watch a little Let's Make a Deal.
So I had a friend that got on The Price is Right, and he's the kind of person who probably in his high school yearbook would have been most likely to appear on The Price is Right. Like, he was that guy. First off, his name, Hilly Holiday. He was built for The Price is Right. Hilly.
Did he win?
I don't remember what he won, but he was just one of those, like, overly exaggerated, excited people. which is exactly what they're looking for. You know how they pick them. So you line up in the morning for the tapings. You line up outside, there at the television studios, CBS television studios down in Hollywood. And the producers or executive producers, they walk the line. And basically look for crazy people. They're basically looking for people that are
energy.
Just over the freaking top, right? And so that's how you kind of, and the people who want to be on the show know this. So it's a competition in line of, I'm nuttier than the person next to me. And that's how you get on The Price is Right. Just a little pro tip. Most of the shows operate that way. You know, that they're looking for, obviously it's entertainment, for goodness sakes, right? It's not about the game. It's about the contestants.
Look what the dating game did. It was like the first signal that we would be on the, to this reality, you know, bachelor, bachelorette, all that.
Mm-hmm. And they're now they're bringing back, I think I saw, they're turning the Love Boat into a game.
What do you
a
mean?
Or a dating show, rather.
Well, we're going to take them out on a boat?
Yeah, yeah. It's called...
So it's like, it's instead of, what was it, Temptation Island or whatever, it's going to be Temptation Boat?
Yeah, it's called The Real Love Boat.
Oh, God.
And they're going to have, like, the Ricardo Montalban character. He was the Love Boat, right? Or is that Phantom?
That was
Fantasy
Island.
Fantasy Island.
It was Julie, your... whatever she was called.
Captain Steubing.
Yeah.
But either way,
I used to watch The Love Boat all the time. What does that say about me?
A lot of things. A lot of things.
I'm fun. I like fantasy. It was just one of those shows that was the same, you know, it did follow the same formula every week, and it just was an enjoyable show.
So I have, I don't know if it's breaking news, new news, or everybody already knows this. But I have a lot of friends that work still in the media world and work in, quote, reality television. Contains no reality. You know,
these things are not real. Everyone knows that,
You say that, and I see people like, I can't believe so-and-so, and I go, this is not, it's not real. Hey, here's how you know it's not real. When you watch your favorite reality show, stick around for the credits. They have writers. What the hell are they writing? If it's a reality show, they're writing the script. They're writing, so it's not reality, it's just amateur actors.
Okay? You're gonna tell me wrestling's not real.
Exactly.
Come on.
I hate to break it to you that there is all of it, from the Kardashians to all of it, it's all fake.
Miranda's having a
fake.
It broke my heart when I read that House Hunters.
Not real.
Not only they pick before they even do the segment, so they bought the house. But let me tell you, that was a closely held secret for a long time. Because when that came out, all of us House Hunter fans were like, what? I mean, it totally ruined everything for me.
I knew the
Cheaters has got to be real, though, right?
Yeah, Cheaters is real.
Yeah, right.
Of course, Cheaters is real.
Cheaters is real.
Yeah.
I mean, War of the Roses is real. Second date update,
oh
all those wacky radio shows things. By the way, not real.
Now I just watched for the telltale signs that it's not real. That's kind of fun. Yeah.
Well, on the House Hunters one, you know, it's pretty obvious it's not real when they say, all right, here's our couple, Bill and Diane. Bill is a barista at Starbucks, and Diane collects Teletubbies. And their budget is $1.6
million. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the dead giveaway.
What?
Yeah.
The hell? Where are we getting that from?
And that's how most of them are now. I mean, if you're not at $1 million, and they are all young, it is kind of ridiculous. But I don't know. There's something about that.
Contains no real.
No.
Reality
I like
TV.
It.
Not real.
Who wants to watch a House Hunters if they're not going for the most extravagant house in, like, South Africa that they can get? Come on.
I want to see him go for a dump in South Philly.
Yeah, there you go. That's more realistic.
It's kind of like a game show because if I'm watching it with someone, we're like, which one are they going to pick? And then I see number two. I see number one. You know, some of them were joking about the ending. It is so ridiculous. But here's the thing they said, to watch what they're wearing. That's your clue.
And what do you mean? Like if they're dressed too nice?
No, I guess if they're wearing the same outfit in like for two houses and they change their outfit for one house. No. It's just look at what they're wearing, because if they're wearing the same clothes, that's the house they're going to pick.
Gotcha.
So like for the interview in the house, I can't remember the actual particulars, but it works.
You know, they tell you to bring extra sets of clothes. You can change it. They tell them that. These are the people that forgot. Like, I didn't bring another shirt.
And the producer's pulling his hair out. He's just like, ugh. They're going to figure it out. Stupido.
We're going to have to film you in soft focus the whole time, make it seem a little bit different. Hey, good morning to you, and a happy Thursday. It's Bruce and Judy with you, and these days, it seems like we have darn near everything on our phones. I was reminded of that when I went to the Sam's Club recently. I was looking for a 500-pack of Bic pens, and thank God they had it for $9.99. But I forgot my Sam's Club card. You got to have your little card to show.
Yeah.
And then I remembered, I have it on my phone. I have a digital version on my phone, and you can wave it at the people when you walk in, and when you go to check out, you just scan it, and I'm like, awesome. I don't need to carry the card with me anymore.
Is right? It an app they sent, or that you can go on an app, or how did you get that?
I probably got it off the app.
Yeah.
I think maybe you could even put it in your Apple Wallet. I know so many. You can put anything.
Well, that's why I have it. Apps, yeah, it's in my Apple Wallet.
That's so
I've got
convenient.
Everything in my Apple Wallet. I have my car insurance.
I'm looking to see if I have an Apple Wallet
in my Apple Wallet. So
that's good.
When the Pope and so here's the good thing about that. How many times have they sent you like the little card in the mail and you forget to put it in your card?
Oh my God!
Or you look in the car and you're like, oh God, this expired in 2019. The one in your wallet automatically updates when you. When you pay your premium.
So when your policies, as long as your policies up to date, you just have it on your phone.
Yeah.
God, it's
I got everything on my phone. What don't I have on my phone? I've got all of it on my phone.
Because I'll tell you, I put that insurance card in my glove box, and then it disappears.
The glove box?
The one I pull out when I get stopped is usually 3 years old.
Right.
I'm like, I know it's in here. And I'm looking, and it's never there.
And the cop is
it's
just kind of like, you're wasting my time.
I swear I have insurance, officer.
Look, I have one from 2013. Obviously, I have insurance.
Yeah. You did back in the olden days, right?
Wait, I'm still looking for my Apple Wallet. Hold on.
Here's the next step. Arizona, the state of Arizona, is now the first state where you can add your driver's license to your Apple Wallet. So if you're at the airport, you got to show your ID, you know, to get past the TSA. You've got your, maybe you got your boarding pass on your phone.
Yeah,
I haven't printed a boarding pass in 20 years. And then you've got your ID as well. Boom, you can put that right there. So you can have your driver's license on your phone now. I think that's pretty darn convenient. It's getting to the point where
it's
who carries a wallet?
Right?
Yeah. I used to carry this big wallet full of cards and everything. And I'm like, what do I need to carry a wallet for anymore? I got everything on my phone.
There's something about everything being on the phone that bothers me in terms of you could lose your phone. Something could happen to the service on your phone. You know, I put my flight information on my phone now. I've gone that far, but I always boarding pass. I do still print it out though, just in case, because I feel like my phone is going to fail.
Who's the guy?
Dr. Rick.
Dr. Rick. If you printed your boarding pass, you're in the right place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean,
if you printed directions on how to get here, you're in the right place, Dr. Rick.
Because I feel like that's when it will fail at the most inopportune time.
Now, remember when batteries were bad in phones? Like, if it was cold outside, your phone would die, like, within an hour. But I think things have gotten so much better.
Yeah. Still, there's that. It's an electronic. It's not foolproof. If I have a piece of paper in my hand,
I have lost.
It's not going to automatically combust out of my hand. It's going to be there.
I have lost that piece of paper. That boarding pass more times than I've ever lost a phone.
That's so funny.
I've certainly lost that piece of paper. Like, I had a boarding pass around here somewhere. I've never lost my phone. Knock on wood.
My big worry is the lack of charge. Because eventually, you know, phone batteries are pretty amazing now, right? You know, but I was carrying around an iPhone 7 for like 5-6 years. And eventually that battery
starts. What was that like?
I felt like I was in biblical times with a stone tablet.
Stone tablet, you know? That's what I was going to
do. I had an iPhone 7 a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Until I got my 13.
So what was it like going to high school with Judas? You know?
Yeah.
See, but this is a good point, you guys. Not everybody has an iPhone 13. I would wager most people are in the 7, 8, 9 range. Yes.
They just stop working after a while. We talked about this. Yes. They build planned obsolescence into the phone.
Listen, they just shut off the, you know, the Motorola one. So we've got time. But I'm just saying, you know, it's fine for people who are, you know, at the height of the tech world. But there are a lot of people who, I mean, I still use stamps.
Jeez. What are those?
When I just bought some yesterday at the Ace Hardware.
What the hell are... What would I use stamps for?
I needed a stamp.
Me and Lauren just had this whole conversation yesterday about wedding invitations and how we just...
Oh, you're going to need to know.
No, we're not, because we're going to be like, here's your invitation. We're not, you know...
You're going to hand them out?
Well, yeah. We're going to send them out. We're going to do stamps for that. But when people actually RSVP...
Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît?
Yes. Oh, is that what they're for?
You didn't know that?
Yes.
No, I honestly didn't.
You knew that.
No, I didn't.
Nick Gale knew that.
Well, yeah, even I knew that.
You guys are Renaissance men of a different time.
So you're going to need to send out those invitations stamps.
No, we're not, because on the invitation is going to say... RSVP at this website.
But when
the
you
website.
First send out the invitation.
When we first send it out, but we're not going to spend an extra $300.
For the return envelope.
Okay. Yeah, nobody does
that
anymore.
I'm not
going to
make them go and buy stamps. I'm not a jerk.
Wait, you know? Here's the other thing. Are you going to send out save the date cards?
Yeah, that's already sent out.
Okay, did you put so there's a stamp on that.
Sorry, apologies.
Twice now, stamps.
Yeah. And it stinks.
You're blowing through stamps like it's going out of style.
It sucks.
Well, first of all,
how much are stamps?
I don't know, like a dollar?
$1,000.
$1,000.
I think it's 55 cents.
55 cents?
I believe it's 55.
You know, in my day, they were 20 cents.
Yeah. I remember when stamps were 5 cents.
Yeah. And you put them on the Pony Express, and they took them all the way to Tuscaloosa.
That worked. It was a system that worked.
58 cents, Judy. You were right. They are more than
55
cents. I know. This is really outrageous.
What's Where do you get stamps to? Other than the post office? I have
the
no
Ace
idea.
Ace Hardware.
Ace Hardware Jewel. Sells stamps.
You know what? I went to Ace Hardware for grout. For grout.
And stamps.
I needed brown grout, Nick. And can you believe they only had white? I'm like, are you kidding me?
You can
do
just
you
mix
have
dirt
stamps?
In.
And they said, we sure do.
Really?
Yeah, I was like in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, we got a special today. Grout and stamps.
They only have the stamps. They didn't have the grout. That was my point.
I can't remember the last time I mailed something.
Okay, you know what I needed to mail?
Okay.
My
imagine.
Taxes.
You
so
cannot.
I went right out. No. So I had my taxes prepared.
Wait, they mail you file it electronically.
They mail it. Well, this is the thing. You guys don't. They mail it back. I have to sign it, and then I have to mail it back to them, and then they file. It's all electronic.
I do e-sign.
I just signed it, and I put a stamp on it, and I sent it back.
If my tax person told me I needed to put it in the mail and get a stamp on it, I'd find a new tax
person.
Yeah,
that's a different guy.
You're working in a different era than I am.
I'm sure I decided to do it that way. That's why we do it.
Oh, my Lanta. Hey, still one of the reasons. We still got time for our criminal of the day, don't we, right? I got to give a shout-out to Victor Emmanuel McMillan and his son Joshua Lee McMillan of Michigan, who came up with a novel and illegal way to make soda pop even worse for you. Allegedly, the father-son duo had popped into their local McDonald's for a thirst-quenching large Coca-Cola. Nothing wrong with that. Short time later, Michigan State Police trooper pulled them over for a traffic violation. It happened still. So far, so good. Police became suspicious when they found what appeared to be a baggie that contained a crystalline residue on the floor of the car, and a search for drugs began. Under the seats? Nope. In the glove box? Nope. Floating on top of the Coca-Cola inside a large McDonald's cup? Bingo! I knew he shouldn't have asked for extra ice, Dad! Victor McMillan was arraigned on one count of delivery of methamphetamine, and his son Joshua McMillan was arraigned on one count of possession of methamphetamine. Now, how they determined the deliverer and the possessioner, it's still a mystery to me. So for finding out the hard way that meth floats, you, Victor, and Joshua McMillan are the Bruce St. James Show criminals of the day. All suspects described above should be considered innocent until found guilty in a court of law, no matter how crazy they are. And good morning to you, and a happy Thursday. Here's what we got coming up this hour at 6:45. Would you order a restaurant's leftovers? One new app is connecting customers with local spots to help reduce food waste.
Dr. Willie Wilson is back to relieve your pain at the pump. He joins us at 6:30 to tell you where to get your free fill-up.
And the IRS has uncovered nearly 2 $1 billion in COVID relief fraud? Is this just what happens when the government steps in? We're talking about it in just a few minutes. But first, opening day for baseball has been pushed back now. It's April 7th. But the Cubs are showing they're ready with a brand new slogan. Or are they? Listen, let's get this out of the way. It is a difficult time to be a sports fan in Chicago right now, because it seems like every single team is in the middle of some sort of rebuilding phase. Every single team is trading away its best players. Every single team is telling you, well, you know, we're planning for the future, right? Well, that makes it hard to go if you know right off the bat that maybe we're not going to be the ones in contention right from the beginning. But the Cubs have a new slogan. You ready for the 2022 Cubs slogan? Here it is. It's different here. Did I deliver it properly?
What?
I kind of like it. It's different
or
here.
Is it a question? It's different here?
No.
It's different
No,
here.
Definitely not that.
It's different here.
Here? It's different.
That's the new slogan.
Oh, good
it's
Lord.
It's different here.
Are you going to get Bill Curtis to voice that?
Oh, you think we could get that?
You pull some
fantastic.
I think the idea is to have fans say it.
Yeah, it's different.
Hey,
here.
It's different here.
We're going to add that to it. The let's go, fly the W, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's different here is going to have the same kind of ring to it.
No, fly the W was probably my favorite one of recent.
It's fantastic.
That's great. It's Cubs iconography. Everybody knows what it is. And
yeah.
It makes a good hashtag, which Ooh. Is most important. But mm-hmm.
Hashtag it's different here. No.
And actually, now that we think about it, no one really says it. It's like the logo. We're just going to see it everywhere, right? It's different here.
Yeah, it's going to be a logo. Yeah. It's different here. That sounds like the tagline to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
It's different here, man. Austin, Texan.
It's different here.
We should have that afterwards.
It's different here.
Yeah. I kind of get what they're going for, because it is funny. Cubs fans, will, especially going to Wrigley Field, will say, you know, we're unique, you know.
Every team thinks us. They are, by the way.
There's a good one. Good to be us.
Okay. Then it could be next year's,
like
the 2023 version.
312-591-8900. What do you think? What's your slogan? I don't mind it.
An explanation as to why the I mean, did anybody explain why?
Well, they have a video. You have to watch the video.
Oh, I don't have time to watch their videos.
Well, I think the concept is that, and we've talked about this before, the fact of the matter is the Cubs possibly traded away all their good players.
Right.
You're going to need a program on opening day to know the name of anybody on the field. But there is this aura around Wrigley. There is it is a destination that I think they're admitting transcends baseball.
Yeah. Like I said, it's unique. And if you watch the video, it says it's beautiful here. It's exciting here. It's, you know, that's what they were going for. And then it ends with, it's different.
There's a 7-Eleven across the street here.
Yeah.
And what they should say is, we lose here, but we're still winners. We don't care. Yeah.
We lose differently.
We don't care. Yeah, we lose differently.
We lose differently.
It's different here. We lose and we're still popular.
Yeah.
But seriously, it's true.
It's different here. Yeah. I mean, it's a unique.
Now, the Sox should do, it's the same here.
It's exactly the same. Every day is exactly
the
same.
And we're going to win again. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I need to be in PR. I mean, who comes up with these things?
That is kind of a little bit of the, what do I want to call it? The knock that you go to Wrigley for the experience. You go to Wrigley to be seen. You go to Wrigley to drink beer. You go to Comiskey to watch baseball.
Right.
There's a bit of a difference. Not that it's not a lovely park. Not that it's not nice and all that. But I get a sense like it's more about baseball for the Sox, and it's a little more about history and ambiance for the.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I think Sox fans would tell you it's about like. I think they feel like the Cubs get embraced, right? It's embracing the city, and the Cubs, and then
they're the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, And even though the Sox win more games, even though the Sox get close most years, win it more than the Cubs, they still don't get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah. Well, they might
because
take their...
it's different here.
They might take their eye off the ball here pretty darn soon because the Ricketts family, the owner of the Cubs, is trying to buy an English soccer team, Chelsea. Now, there's a whole story behind this. Chelsea is up for sale because it's owned by a Russian oligarch, Roman Abramovich, one of Putin's buddies, who the British government has sanctioned and told him, we're taking your team away from you. So, good news. There's a team for sale, if you can imagine that. But the Ricketts are running into a little bit of, what do I want to call it? Bit of a speed bump for some comments that were made previously. As a matter of fact, the word is that they are actually headed over to London as we speak. They're not flying coach, are they? I don't think so. to try to smooth over comments, what was it, 3 years ago? Joe Ricketts, some of his emails came out, and in those emails he referred to Islam as a cult and not a religion. I will remind you that London has a Muslim mayor, just right off the bat, and that the English soccer fans are unique in the world of sports. See, I think the only thing you could compare English soccer fans to is like SEC football fans. Like it
rabid.
Is, and it's generational.
Truly.
It is mom, dad, grandpa, grandpa, kids, infants, you know, everybody like flies the same flag. Everybody wears the same jersey.
Kind of like Cubs fans.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. It's got this real, but they don't put up with losing
no.
Very well over there. I want to assure you that.
They do not.
And so, yeah, the Ricketts are actually having like meetings with fan groups. This is how serious it is. Like, you can write the check. That's the easy part. Getting the fans to embrace you is the hard part. And having American owners. Oh, they're not big fans of them.
No.
Foreign owners.
Well, and you know what? Tom Ricketts is the chairman of the Cubs, right? This is his dad, Joe Ricketts, who made the comments.
Yeah.
And so they're just, what they're trying to do is distance themselves from that, saying, hey, Joe Ricketts does not have anything to do with the Cubs. He doesn't run this organization. So, again, a PR problem for them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, I think, because I was thinking, well, why do we as Cubs fans accept that? But it's like they were, it was grandfathered in. We didn't, you know what I mean?
Baked in the cake.
Yeah. They were already owned the Cubs. This is a team, you know, you go to Europe now and Europe's saying, well, yeah, you want to come here. We don't have to have you. I mean, you're not embedded here anywhere. So, it is a PR problem, and it's just interesting that it's the Cubs of all teams. We're just talking about how they're like you know, baseball sweethearts, but you know,
I gotta tell you, some of that
dirty laundry is coming out, and they're going to have to deal with it.
Lovable losers isn't a good phrase though for the fans of Chelsea Soccer Club, football club. They're not going to be fans of that, and I mean the number could reach $4 billion.
Oh, good God.
For the club. So the Ricketts are just sitting on cash right now.
They
like,
really
I don't
are.
Know, buy an English soccer team.
I got to throw this in for you guys. Tim in Naperville says the Cubs opening day slogan should be wait till next year.
Just wait till next year.
Just wait till next year. Chelsea, just wait till next year.
That's been our slogan since 1920, whatever. That's been our slogan. Just wait till next year.
Just wait till next
year. And a good morning, a happy Thursday. Bruce and Judy with you, and Bill O'Reilly is coming live. The No Spin Zone at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan next Thursday night, 1 week from today. Just go to WLSAM.com. You get tickets. The right side of the conversation starts at 6 at March 31st, Thursday night with Bill O'Reilly. Tickets are selling fast. Just head over to WLSAM.com to get yours today. It should come as absolutely no surprise that when the government gets around to handing out money, that some people are going to try to figure out how to game the system and steal money. An IRS probe has found that coronavirus stimulus related payments, loans, etc., that the fraud could reach up to $2 billion in fraud.
It's shocking, actually, and It's, you know, you can understand that, you know, we all want to blame the government, of course, and really they should catch this kind of thing. But it was, you know, the pandemic. They were trying to get money out as quickly as possible to people who needed it. But then it turns out, oh, businesses and individuals, you know, ripped off the system. They put in claims that weren't true. Things like, oh, I have 25 employees. I run a nonprofit. No employees. They deposit, you know, my
that guy got $300,000.
Yeah, because he said his payroll was $120,000 a month. So $300,000 a month, yeah. I mean, the government was very generous. I said, in the middle of the pandemic, I remember I mentioned, I'm like, yeah, do you notice that? First, I noticed people, just individuals, homeowners, everyone was doing their house. Everyone was upgrading their house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, spending money.
Yeah, I'm like, well, people are home. Maybe they're doing a live at their own. But then I noticed almost every bar, restaurant, and business that at least I was familiar with has done some improvement over the past 2 years.
Upgrades.
Some complete renovations. And so I don't understand. Obviously, that was the stimulus money. Wasn't that supposed to be for
not
the employees?
All of it. Because a lot of businesses said that if we're going to be closed or shut down, or now's the time to do the renovation where it won't affect business.
Yeah, but they don't have any. Where are they getting the money? They're not making any money. So I'm just, A and B equals C. Okay, they're not making any money, but they're making a huge renovation. So I'm assuming they were using a lot of the stimulus money. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just noting that many places I see now have been renovated over the past 2 years. And I'm not saying that was the fraud. I will even admit, when I got like my second or third stimulus check, first of all, I felt a little bit guilty. I didn't really need it.
Yeah.
I was working the whole pandemic. So I didn't understand why I even got the check.
One married couple used made up and stolen identities, including, shockingly, some belonging to deceased people, foreign exchange students, and submitted 150 fraudulent loan applications, all under different names.
Yeah, it's so, you know, here's the thing, people. They're coming for you. It'll take a while, because sometimes the government does move slow. It moved pretty quick in giving out all that money.
It did.
And now they're saying, the problem is, you know, we don't have enough, you know, staff. But eventually it'll catch up to you.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of money to lose, $2 billion.
Does this include all the payroll fraud that we heard about?
Yeah.
I don't know, a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Payroll protection plan. What was that?
Yeah.
It was PPP loans and things.
Yep.
Yeah. Of businesses maybe exaggerating how many employees they had in order to get payroll protection for people that didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't protecting in any way, shape, or form. Now, I can't do math, but the government did hand out $3.6 trillion. What percentage is 2 billion?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, they think it could be as much as, not 20%. That can't be right.
Yeah, I don't know what 2 billion of 4 points, it seems like it's a pretty small percentage.
What they handed out, though, that's it. That was 20% of the U.S. gross domestic product.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Which is why, by the way, we have inflation. If you cashed one of those checks, if you took one of those loans, that's why we have inflation. It's A plus B equals C, as you say. It's all this extra money just all of a sudden started pouring into the economy. Cash started stacking up. The price of everything goes up. It's how inflation works.
And I feel like the fraud, especially like in the States, I mean, when you think about the extra $600 people got for unemployment.
$600, yeah.
A week. $600 a week.
That's a lot.
It's just, there was so much money. Yeah.
Whatever it was.
And, you know, I just, in retrospect, yeah, we could all play the, you know, Monday morning quarterback. It was a pandemic. It was something we had never experienced before. I think everyone was trying to go overboard in trying to make it right, but that's a lot of money.
Well, I don't know a lot of people that turned it down or sent it back either. So
I don't know anyone, not one person.
The government's handing out free money.
But I didn't do it.
They're in line for it, right? He's at it again. Not Nick Gale. Willie Wilson and free gas. How much is this going to screw up a morning commute?
Oh, you know, it's probably going to be a little rough. Although this time around, Willie Wilson has said he has worked with local law enforcement on traffic control issues. So the issues that we saw last week with his first gas giveaway.
And a good morning to you. A happy Thursday, Bruce and Judy with you. We're going to give it away now. All right. What do we give it away? Free gas. I say we. I feel like we're buddies with Willie Wilson now. You know, we've had Mr. Wilson on a couple times, and we've got him on again right now. Good morning to you, Mr. Wilson. It's great to talk to you. Oh, are you there?
Dr. Wilson is doing an interview right now with Nationwide WGN News.
All right.
Nationwide.
So, okay. Well, we'll come back to him in a little bit then. Is that fair? All right. What's happening today is that Willie is giving away, what is it? $1 million.
$1 million.
In gas. It is set to kick off in
about... That's a lot of gallons of gas.
23 minutes. the lines have already started. And he did this last Thursday. But he only did it like, what was it? Five different stations.
And $200,000.
So, it's $1 million. It's more than five times what he gave away. And
a lot more stations.
Different stations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, drivers will be able to get $50 in free gas. And they are trying to do it a little bit differently to try to maybe alleviate some of the traffic issues last Thursday. But looking at some of the traffic maps already this morning, it's not necessarily working because guess what? More people are showing up because there's more stations. What a shock.
Well, you weren't allowed to show up overnight, which was good because people did that last time. So that
camped out
At 7 o'clock. So in a half hour, I think they said 6:30, they can start lining up.
Yeah.
At 7, every driver will get like a sticker this time indicating their position in line. Apparently,
okay,
there were a lot of cut-ins.
No.
I can't believe that. If someone cut in my line, there would be hell to pay.
Well, I was just like looking at it last time where you had like these like three streams of cars all coming into one lane or into one gas station. And you could see where I'm sure horns were being used.
Yeah. Anytime there's a line, there's a cutter. Always.
Good
have
point.
You ever noticed that? It's so annoying. And that's someone awesome. Always lets them, some nice, you know, soul will let them in. Anyway, so this time there's only one entrance and one exit. Apparently that was a problem when you think about
that
gas stations. Gas stations sometimes have 4-6
Oh, God,
entrances.
Yeah, some of these ones.
You know, especially if they're on a corner. So traffic control aides, I mean, police are already out there. Apparently police were even out there last night to make sure no one lined up.
Yeah.
And people, no gas cans or containers allowed.
Oh, you can't come and bring your 5-gallon
you
plastic
gas,
thingy
you put it in your vehicle.
Has to go in the car. Okay, that's an important safety
Which is,
tip.
Yeah. So I'm already looking up my spot here, hoping that not a lot of people go, because on my way home, I think, from work, I'm going to try to stop.
I wish you the best of luck with that.
I was going to go pull over and see how long it is.
Yeah.
Why not? I've waited to get gas because I wanted to partake in this Willie Wilson extravaganza.
Yeah. And maybe something a little bit different this time than what Willie did last week was a lot more suburban locations, not just some of the ones in the city. And so, you know, everywhere from Dalton to Rosemont to
Berwyn.
Berwyn, there's a BP in Berwyn, don't you dare worry. That it's kind of spread out a little bit more so that people maybe don't have to travel as far, burn gas to get gas.
Well, there were no suburban ones last time, I don't believe. So yeah, that's nice. And not just Cook County, you know, it extends to other counties as well. So, and not just one gas station, it's all different Citgo, Exxon, BP, Mobile, they're all different gas stations. I'm looking at the suburbs, mm-hmm, you know, so Rosemont, I mean, it doesn't extend that far. Like, actually, now that I look at it, maybe it is Cook County.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think you're right, because now I'm like, wait a second, this is kind of centered around. So he went outside the city and kind of around the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it.
And
it
easy, like, you know, Berwyn, which is very close to DuPage County. So, I mean, even people in other counties can partake. Because Willie Wilson, as we know, you know, encourages everyone. Well, you know, it's interesting because I thought he would maybe make it more specific, maybe go to more low-income areas. But no, he said anyone who needs it, whether they need it or not, who wants it, can come and get gas.
Mr. Wilson, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. How you doing?
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Willie, can you tell us where there isn't a line for gas? Because I want to go there.
No, everybody got to get in line. There's a line all over the suburban area and Chicago area, you know?
Where are you? Because you're literally pumping gas. Where specifically are you this morning?
I'm here this morning in Cicero.
Okay.
Right at Fit 201 in Cicero here. Cermak Road.
Got it.
Laramie and Cermak, right.
So some lucky people are going to have Willie Wilson pump them a tank full of gas. That just is the icing on the cake if you're getting free gas. We talked to you last week. You did $200,000 worth of it. This week, $1 million. First off, it's wonderful, quite honestly. And I know a lot of people have been thanking you and stopping you. It's outstanding. Again, the inspiration behind this. Where does this come from, Willie?
Well, it comes from me being poor and not having money to do things. And so as we gasoline price get higher, people would ask me for money to get to work and to get to daycare center. So I went to the service station and filled up one day. It was $50. Next two or three days, it was $150.
Mm.
You know, and so I just said that, look, it's too much out here. People need to make it to work and take care of their livelihood. So we gave the first $200,000 last week, and I said, this ain't enough. I felt a little bad about it. So I came back. I said, let me do $1 million, you know?
Yeah, that's a very nice gesture. I got to ask you, though, Willie, why not just give out, like, gas cards instead of making people go to the pump?
Well, we don't get a gas card because so many counterfeit.
Ooh.
You know, yeah, so many counterfeit. That would have been a mess for real because people counterfeit stuff, and I had that happen to me before.
Oh.
And that's a horrible situation. There's too many people with duplicate counterfeit. People would have came to the station and they wouldn't have been, you know, right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I get that. You know, I know that you actually received a little bit of pushback after last week's $200,000 gas giveaway. Not everybody was happy with you. Is that a nice way to put it? How did you deal with them?
Nothing to you. In order to deal with people in life, you got to be prepared to take criticism from your friends and from your enemies and everybody else. If you're not prepared to take criticism, you shouldn't be out here trying to do anything. Mm. So I just ignore it. I just try to do good. You do good, good come to you, you know?
Water off your back.
So as we understand it, cars are right now being allowed to line up, correct?
They'll line up. We'll let them start pumping gas at 7 a.m. They've done a good job. I'm in Cicero, and they are ready together. We check on the spot. They seem to be pretty good, too. But, you know, I tell you what, when Jesus did good, they still complaining about Jesus.
There
you know?
Is that. No, you know what? You're in fast company, Willie, to say the least.
Complainers are going
to
complain.
Willie Wilson with us right now. $1 million in free gas given away. You know what I wanted to do is maybe not everybody knows your business background. How can people support Willie Wilson? How can I today thank you for helping the city out? Where are Willie Wilson's businesses?
Well, Omark Medical Supply, just go on their website. You're catching right there. And there's Willie Wilson Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I don't too much look for a lot of things no more in terms of people, accolades and everything because of the fact that You know, I'm out here to do good. I'm going to continue to do this, you know?
Well, we sincerely appreciate it. Good luck. Wear gloves, by the way. Just a tip. Wear gloves when you're pumping that much gas today, all right?
I sure will. All
and
right.
Make sure to stop at $50 so everyone gets some.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks, Willie.
He's Willie Wilson live in Cicero as he's getting ready in just about 15 minutes to start pumping free gas. Again, 19 locations
50
around
bucks.
There.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tank full.
Yeah,
for a lot of people.
Oh, I should be so lucky that $50 would fill up the tank.
Yeah, that's about 30.
A quarter
one
tank.
One of my cars, 50. One of them, 100.
I had the pump stop. You know, you put your credit card in. I had the pump stop at 125.
I used to do that, yeah. Because you can't bear it, right?
And you know, no, it automatically stops. Won't let you do more. And I was at 3/4 of a tank.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hey, good morning to you. A happy Thursday. be some rain off and on all day long. We'll survive, right? But if you're waiting in line for free gas, well, guess what? It'll get better at the end, right? Hey, there's all kinds of apps out there that deliver food. You can order food, right? They're infinite. It's almost overwhelming. But there's a new one out there that takes the concept of restaurant food to a bit of a different level. It's called Too Good To Go. Too Good To Go. And what it does is it sells leftovers from restaurants really cheap.
Right. And not leftovers off of someone's plate.
It's important to point out.
Right. Because that's what I think of when I think of it, but it's what they've made too much of.
They sent it back. This is right. Still good.
Well, if you've ever worked at a restaurant or a grocery store or any place that sells food, the amount of waste is literally sickening.
Well, you get around closing time and you've made all this stuff. You don't keep it for tomorrow,
right?
You can't, right?
In many cases. Yeah. And sometimes it's appalling how much food America throws out.
Some estimates have it like 40% food waste out there.
So I went on what was called a food rescue one time.
Food rescue.
Yeah, it was for Catholic Charities. They needed volunteers. We went to McCormick Center. They were having anesthesiologist convention. That's what it was.
Okay.
Well, but I mean, thousands. They were, you know, maybe.
There's
I
lots
don't know.
Of them.
Yeah.
They were too sleepy to eat any more food. You know?
Oh, come on. They're pumping themselves up. So say there were 2,000. Well, they ordered 2,000 meals.
Okay.
But maybe 1,500 showed up.
Not everybody wanted to eat.
Part of the convention. Mm-hmm. Right. Now they've got 500 prepared meals.
Oh.
So, but I got to tell you guys, it was a process. They had to have a refrigerated truck standing by in a certain amount of time. We had to.
For safety.
For safety. You can't just take the food and leave and go drop it off somewhere. You have to have a process. It was really, so, I mean, just the sheer fact of doing the food rescue, taking the food, putting it in, you have to separate everything, put it in a container that was approved by the FDA. You have to go into the refrigerator. I mean,
I don't know if hungry people care that much about it.
And then they go deliver it to the shelters. Yeah. However, it was an expensive process. If they didn't have the volunteers, us, I don't know what they would have done. That's why it gets wasted.
With the Too Good To Go app, they don't deliver. You got to go pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the part, because I look at this and I go, oh, that's interesting. It's clever, you know, and it's cheap. I mean, $4 or $5. Here's the thing. You don't know what you're going to get.
You can't order pizza.
No.
I would like some chicken limon. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. You get kind of what they had left over. For example, Smoke Barbecue. One of the best barbecue restaurants in town, right? They participate in this. But it says this bag might include just side portions and or whole dishes, depending on what's available. You pay one price. It's mystery when you open it up. It's like Christmas. Bocce Pizzeria. You may get a piece of pizza. You may get breadsticks. You have no idea what you're going to get for $5.
Yeah, it's $5. That's the thing. If you're hungry, you don't want to spend a lot. If you're in a budget, it might be worth it. 312-591-8900. Would you do this? Would you?
I'm too finicky. I can't do it.
Yeah, I could say I would too do finicky. It. I feel like just doing it just to see what I get.
Well, I also don't want to eat things I don't know what it is.
Okay, here's...
Like, it's a mystery. Like, what is that? I don't know. I need to know what it is.
Right. This bag might include pizza, just side portions, and or whole dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't... So here's the thing. Go to your favorite restaurant, if you can, or go to a restaurant, or go... If you like pizza... I'm pretty sure you're going to get some kind of pizza,
right?
Yeah,
but what if I get a pizza with, like, that pineapple crap on it or whatever?
Yeah.
Abomination under the Lord.
That would be what was left over, though.
Yeah, that would be the stuff that's left over. We had a lot of pineapple pizza.
It's not going to be the pepperoni.
We didn't have the loons show up today to eat that crap.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know, like some great Italian restaurant you love. I would think anything would be good. Even if it's a side, I'm happy with that.
I think
so. This all happens at night, though.
That's the other thing. Yes, it's.
Well, they do mid-morning. So they do kind of after the morning breakfast rush, mm-hmm. and then they do an evening one after, call it the dinner rush.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can get it twice.
This would be good for like a single person. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What do you got to lose for $5 and you're hungry at
$5.
8 o'clock.
Right. You're coming home after a night out with your friends, you know, late night, and you want a snack.
Well, I've got a bunch of Hungry Man meals in the fridge. Yeah. That's what that's for.
Yeah. They should call it. That should be the name of the program.
Hungry Man?
Okay. Run with that.
What's wrong with that? I'm a little hungry.
I mean, I don't
my
know.
My Salisbury steak.
It's, you know what? It saves so much. It's the waste. The amount of waste we don't is so incredible. It doesn't go to a landfill. It doesn't get just thrown out. I think it's great.
I do hate the, you know, the idea of there are people that are hungry. And we throw out food. Like, that is just a...
It makes me sick.
It's a fundamental issue. You know what I'm saying?
And we've talked about this before. Grocery stores, they throw the stuff before it even expires. Because you don't want to buy bread that expires the next day.
Wait a minute. I don't look. Am I supposed to look at when the bread...
Yeah. If you know, don't bother. So, generally, they won't... It'll be at least a few days. Because that's how people operate. Even though you can put the bread in the refrigerator and it'll last... A lot, maybe
is this
weeks.
Why I go to the very back and reach for the milk at
the very back?
Because that's
exactly
the newest milk.
Yes.
That's the closest from a cow and the stuff up front. Okay.
No, I will say, like, Mariano's has a huge tray table filled with stuff that's about to expire. It still has a couple days and it's totally marked down. I go to that all the time.
As well, you
I
should.
Put my sunglasses on and my hat and I go over there and buy my stuff.
Hey, good morning to you. A happy Thursday. Here's what's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. The game is afoot. Turkey and trout season are underway, and people are just itching to get back outside. We're going to talk with our woodsman, Dale Bowman, after 7:45.
And are baseball's days as a monopoly over? Is it time for a little more competition in America's pastime? And is the Cubs' new slogan a little too different? We'll talk about that after 7:30.
And the Magnificent Mile Association is looking to help Chicago's most well-known street bounce back. We're going to be talking to the CEO in just a few minutes. But first, a majority of Americans think public schools are headed in the wrong direction. What about your district? Are you happy with the education your kids or your grandkids are getting? 312-591-8900. What is the problem with public schools? I think there is, you know, there's perception and there's reality, you know, and that is difficult maybe for some people to separate the two. But there is a perception out there that public schools are just not as good as private schools, Catholic schools. Like, if you're grading on the curve, that on the whole, public schools, and I think some of it's fair and some of it's not, get graded down. You know, because they're public schools.
Yeah, that's always been the case, right? I mean, you have to pay to go to private school. So right there, that tells people that it's better because you have to pay for it. It's not, you know, you can go to public school and it's free. I find it interesting that, so most people agree that public schools are going in the wrong direction, but they can't tell you what needs to be done. And that's always the problem. No one has really the solution. They say, no, well, schools aren't good.
I don't like
it. But why? What don't you like?
I just don't.
I mean, and I find it interesting because in this day and age, we spend so much more money on schools. And not only that.
Per student, per pupil, or whatever.
You can still argue that some schools don't get their fair share, and I get that. But for the most part, you know, I mean, we used to go to school and everything was there. We didn't bring anything. Now, you know, parents are required to donate all their, you have to buy all their school supplies.
That's crazy.
Every student, I think pretty much every, you know, most schools in America now, you get an iPad.
Whoa.
Or a laptop. You, at school, that's what you use. So even if you don't have one at home, you know how to use one. So here's my beef. Personally, I think, and I don't have kids in school anymore, but to me, kids are smart, tech-wise. They're much smarter, but then I feel like they don't know as much about the world, and they can't spell. It really gets, the spelling thing really, so then I say to myself, do they need to know how to spell? I don't know. I'm asking you seriously, do you need to know how to spell in this day and age?
Spell check does it for me.
I guess, yeah, but it just bothers me
friend.
To no end.
I spell it wrong every time.
Right,
but spell check correct.
Okay, everyone has that one word, but I'm talking about kids who, and not only do they not
also can't spell restaurant.
Well, or you can't say restaurateur. Here's the thing, they don't, it's not even that they're not even spelling it correctly, they're not even bothering to write out the word. It's just, it's a shorthand. So it's that, I think we need to go back a little bit to the basics. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Yeah. And then add in all the other stuff. But I mean, that's just, I don't know. 312-591-8900. What do you think? Do you think schools, public schools are in good shape or not?
Tammy in Crystal Lake, good morning to you. What do you think?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
What do I think? I began homeschooling in 1985, back when it was not common.
I was going to say, I didn't even know that was a thing in 1985. Okay.
Yes, indeed. And my reasoning, even at that time, was that the school seemed to take on the role of parenting.
Mm. In what way?
And, well, for instance, like telling you what you had to do as far as vaccinations, or telling you what you needed to do to supplement your children's education because they couldn't do it. For my oldest, he was an advanced reader, mm-hmm. and they were unable to meet his needs. At 6 years old, he was reading at fifth grade level.
Okay.
And so they were only able to dish it out to me.
Well, it is a kind of a one-size-fits-all is part of the problem with public schools, right? If you're in the third grade, they assume everybody's kind of equal in the third grade.
Well, but that has changed a lot since then. It's changed. I mean, now they have programs for that gifted and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, maybe not so much.
Right, and they have programs for children that need to come up to speed as mm-hmm. well. The labeling was also another issue for me mm-hmm. in school. You know, the slow child, the advanced child, you know, that type of thing. So that all bothered me.
Okay.
And so I decided to homeschool. And
you were an early adopter.
And I would get the
How
same
difficult was that, though?
You know, I tell people, It's just a continuation of what you started from the time they were born. It's talking to them. It's reading with them. It's playing with them. It's being interested in what they're interested in, advancing them. And so it really doesn't change that much other than resources, which is what I was telling the person who took my call, is that the resources today for people that want to homeschool are amazing.
Yeah. So that's changed.
To say the least, that's changed. Thank you. Thank you for your call, Tammy, in Crystal Lake. Penny in Batavia, what is your point?
Well, I was thinking that, and my daughter homeschooled all three, and all teenagers now, with wonderful college-esque, you know, goals and stuff. So,
good for them.
But my thing is, the mental power that they seem to have over the years accumulated, like we know what's best and we know what they should know at this stage. And that just drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, educators, I mean, it is a profession, you know, I mean, it's, you know, doctors know more about doctoring than I do. I assume professional educators know more about education than I do.
Yeah, maybe, but when parents start feeling like when the school district decides on a curriculum and this is what's going to be taught and they dig in,
mm-hmm.
you know, the teachers are my son-in-law is a teacher, they're helpless. They feel like, no, my kids aren't ready for that. My kids shouldn't know that yet. And I just feel like that and you're right. What's the alternative to that? I don't know.
But it's a good point. It's either parents who are really involved and want control over their kids, as they should, and then there are the parents who don't care
and don't
show up and don't even know
what they're doing.
So you have to sort of have a middle ground for, you know, for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I can see it, but you know, I get back to, boy, we kind of grew up in a time when the teachers did know best. And the school did know best.
Right. And homeschooling was very rare. It's not very rare now. A lot of people homeschool.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of homeschooling.
And the fact is, most homeschooled kids are several grades above their peers.
Mm.
Because a lot of times they go to high school.
Okay.
And they are way, and you know, well, because, I mean, think about it. You're getting an education from, you know, a person, the same person every day of your life, and it's your mom, usually, almost always. And I mean, that you can't deny that that's, you're going to be in better shape. You don't have anyone else to distract you. Maybe some siblings in different, you know, grades, but it's just, God, I could never do it.
Yeah.
If I had to homeschool, oh no. No.
Hey, good morning to you. A happy Thursday. Bruce and Judy with you. And when you took a look at asking people in America, adults, nearly 2 out of 3, and this goes across racial lines, education lines, socioeconomic lines, political lines, 2 in 3 believe that public schools in the United States are headed in the wrong track. One of the issues comes that not everybody agrees they're headed in the wrong track in the same way. And one person's idea of the wrong track is another person's idea of this is exactly what it should be. Well, so there's competing forces.
Right. But what they do agree on is that they don't know how to change it. They don't know what should be changed. 312-591-8900. What do you think? Are public schools headed in the wrong direction or the right direction? And we do have some texts. It's funny that nowadays they offer cursive classes at colleges.
They do?
Is that the old way of doing it? Yeah. Well, apparently they don't do cursive anymore in schools.
They do in some districts.
Oh, thank goodness. Another one, teachers do not have academic freedom. We are expected to teach according to Common Core state standards.
Is that the teach to the test argument?
Right. And which I agree. If you're going to spend a whole semester just gearing kids up to take a test,
right.
What is that about? No,
they're not learning. Right. They're learning how to beat
exactly.
the test.
Exactly. But this is my favorite from 847. When my kids went to school, it was the glue that held me together. I hear you, sister.
The Elmers. God, love the Elmers Grove. Rob in Evergreen Park, what do you think?
You know what? What's happening is there's a lot of non-educator politicians making these laws. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's this new math, and, you know, I learned it by the old-fashioned memorize and everything. Now they got all these steps to visualize it. So that kind of cuts me out of the loop of helping my kid to learn math.
Okay.
And then you have, like, things in Illinois. Like, in Illinois, high school teachers have to teach this unit on gay rights and history and stuff like that. A lot of teachers, one, are not comfortable teaching that. And two, there's not enough time in the school year, the curriculum, to even get to that. So you're kind of force-fed this, and now they're doing something with the Asian. I think they're going to put a new, like, section with that. And it's like, you know, they're never asked educators, are you good with this? Or can we give you in-service? It's just, here it is, go. And some teachers do it, some teachers don't. But it's just politicians making these decisions. It's like No Child Left Behind, disaster. Why is Bill Gates in education? Mm. When does he become an educator and dictating all these rules and everything? It's just like there's not enough common sense. You know, common sense isn't that common anymore in education.
Yeah, good point.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Hey, Paul, what do you take from this?
Good morning, Bruce. One of the things they could do is the Chicago school system, public school system, could just send some of their teachers or advisors over to private school system and talk to them and have them sit in on some of the classes and see what they're doing because they're excelling.
Like learn best practices or how are you doing well with this?
Right. Hmm. And, you know, they're all educators, and I don't think the private school systems would object to the public school systems asking them for help.
Do you think it's just about money, though? Or do you think if the public school teachers are going to say, well, if we had their money, yeah, we could do that?
I don't think it's a... Personally, no, I think it could be about money because you don't get the qualified teachers a lot of times in the public school system.
Huh?
And, you know, I hate to say that, but at the same time, you get caring teachers who don't care about the money, and a lot of private schools don't pay teachers that the public school teachers.
You kind of get what you pay for,
right?
Type thing.
Well,
Paul, thank you for a call.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And that, to go to Paul's point, yeah, the private school teachers don't get paid as well as the public school teachers, especially when it comes to Catholic schools. They get paid much less. So there, it's more of a philosophy than it is about, you know, you're right. People will say, well, if we had more money. But really, I think if you just changed your curriculum a little bit, your philosophy of how you teach, that could go a long way. I'm not saying I know the answer.
Styles. There are different ways of doing things,
right?
And I mean,
private schools can do and teach what they want. You're right. There are standards that the state sets for public schools because you almost have to have it. When you go to a Catholic school, pretty much everyone there is Catholic.
Yeah.
And you will take religion and you will like it.
You'll be graded harshly on it. Hey, Mike in Champaign, what do you think?
Yes, I wanted to talk about a new documentary out called Schools, Inc., and it compares how the American way is versus other countries.
Oh, boy.
Especially focused on Korea and how they elevate their teachers to the level of almost like professional athletes.
I've seen this.
Paying them a very high amount, putting focus on finding the best teachers and how to get the students in front of the best teachers.
Yeah, they have like teachers that are like rock stars, right,
yeah,
Mike?
They're heroes, they're as they like should
professional
be.
Professional athletes.
Yeah, that they are the best in their field. Yeah, they do. They certainly look at teaching very differently.
But do you think we could do that here, Mike? Do you think we could turn that around?
It's going to take time, but yeah, I think through years of just slowly making sure that there's people who like Andrew Huberman is a great example. He puts free podcasts out that are basically Stanford level lectures on YouTube every single week. We need people like that who are just trying to educate the masses in it.
Mm-hmm. Mike, appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Dave, up on the north side, what is one of your issues?
Well, this is in the 50s and the 60s, Bruce. I was in grammar school, high school, JC, and the Jewish families didn't want their kids in the public schools. They were that good, you know. And they sent, you know, little Joshua and Rufy to Catholic schools because they didn't experience so much, you know, anti-Semitism, no gangs, no smoking, you know, no fooling around in the parking lot. You know, none of the priests kept eyes on them.
Yeah.
And besides, they had to learn Latin to be a doctor and a pharmacist.
Had to learn Latin. E pluribus unum in there somewhere. Dave, thank you very much. Yeah.
I would just
the
like
Catholic
to point
schools,
out.
You know, those Catholic school girls, come on.
I was just going to say, I'm a Catholic school girl. Not that I did this, but that is a perception that public school girls are somehow, let's just say, looser and hard. No. What they did at the Catholic schools would shock
Hussies,
parents.
Strumpets.
And it's not just the girls, the boys. I'm just saying,
Trumps.
Don't think the Catholic schools, you know, turned out little saints.
Harlots.
Escorts.
All righty. Well, we've got taken that way too far. Hey, but what I do know is our listeners are very smart. They must have gone to some good schools.
Hey, good morning. A happy Thursday to you. Thank you for spending time with us. Bruce and Judy with you. And well, it may be about the most famous stretch of roadway in all of Chicagoland. The Mag Mile, the Magnificent Mile, an iconic place, a place that's known worldwide, a place that has a very unique look and feel to it. But if we're going to be honest with each other, a place that's kind of struggled and maybe struggled with a bit of an identity.
Needs a facelift.
Well, joining us right now, the person who I'm going to assume this falls right into her lap, the CEO of the Magnificent Mile Association, Kimberly Bars. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce and Judy.
Thank you for spending time with us. All right, so let's have some of these difficult discussions about the Mag Mile. I mean, it's been a tough couple of years, not just for the Mag Mile, but for kind of retail and shopping everywhere. Is it starting to bounce back? What are you getting from your clients?
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. It is not specific to Chicago. It's not specific to the Mag Mile. This is something that urban centers across the United States are dealing with and addressing. And I'm really so fortunate to have a great network of other district leaders from across the country. And we're meeting regularly to discuss ideas and challenges and ways to overcome them. We just had our annual meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the energy in the room was palpable. We had the governor there to speak with us that I think really shows the interest that, I mean, you were talking about Michigan Avenue, well-known Chicago-wide. Mm-hmm. But we're known, we're the primary destination in the Midwest. Yeah. You know, our district, Navy Pier, the Art Institute, the Museum of Contemporary Art, the boats, the river. I mean, all of that is what makes Chicago such a compelling destination for tourists and visitors, not to mention residents.
So, Kimberly, are you looking at like a total revamping of Michigan Avenue? I mean, something completely different?
Well, we have good bones. So it's not like we need to, you know, knock it down and start over again. The iconic architecture on the avenue, the Wrigley Building, the Tribune Tower, you know, the Apple Store, the list goes on, three vertical malls. I mean, there is so much that is wonderful about Michigan Avenue. What we need to do is refresh people's experience on the avenue, and probably shift some of the space. We've got these large flagship retail spaces. We know from our many, many conversations with commercial brokers and property owners and asset managers, we know that space needs are changing. You will always see on the avenue people jockeying for a different corner, for one side of the street or another. That's natural. But the larger flagship retail spaces, those are going to need to be reconfigured.
Understood. Kimberly Barnes is the CEO of the Magnificent Mile Association joining us right now. I read recently there was a study that had been kind of commissioned looking at some different things, and they used a term that I thought was interesting. I hope I didn't screw it up. The demollification of the Mag Mile. The idea that it has become to some people just another example of a mall. Do you subscribe to that theory, and how do you demollify I'm making up words, the Mag Mile?
Well, it's so funny, Bruce, because I was just in Dubai. I was fortunate enough to be chosen to represent the association on a delegation to Dubai for the World Expo with 20 other CEOs and civic leaders from Chicago. Bob Clark, the chairman of Clayco, a major planning and development firm based in Chicago, was appointed commissioner by President Biden for the World Expo. And it's not something that we Americans tend to know much about. We haven't played a very active role in the World Expo world, so to speak. While I was there, I went to the Dubai Mall. And one of the very interesting things is that the mall there has a waterfall, an indoor ski slope, the aquarium. It goes on and on and on.
It's more than an Orange Julius and a Foot Locker. Okay.
Right. So one of the really interesting things, and this is why I love to travel, and, you know, it's hard for me to go anywhere without stopping and experiencing the place, looking at the architecture, looking at the people, seeing how both interact, people and place, in a particular space. That's my background in urban planning.
Mm-hmm.
So being in that mall and just watching people have this amazing experience, that's the piece that overall is the most important. And it doesn't matter if you're on Michigan Avenue or Hyde Park or Rogers Park, Wicker Park, any of our wonderful neighborhoods, one of our wonderful places. You've got to have a phenomenal experience, and that experience is what we're looking to enhance. It's right up our alley. We have, you know, world-class hotels and restaurants and shopping. So making sure that people have that world-class experience while on our street, in our vertical malls, and along the boulevard, that's what we're striving to improve.
And when you say world-class, I immediately think like big. And I don't know why I should, and I don't think we should think that way anymore. I mean, do you foresee Michigan Avenue becoming more intimate, more, you know, smaller in a way when you say you want people to have that experience? It doesn't have to necessarily be big anymore.
Well, Judy, that's a great point. And I would say we should decouple big with world class. One doesn't necessarily mean the other. But it doesn't mean it can't be world-class. So, for example, Starbucks Roastery The roastery on Michigan Avenue is the largest of the five roasteries in their portfolio. It's huge. It's large. It's huge. It's also their best performance.
I was going to say, there's always a line outside also every time I walk by.
Right, right. So going there at the world's largest roastery, it's also their best, and the experience is world class. Now, you can compare and contrast that with some of the smaller shops on Michigan Avenue or Oak Street, or Walton, also in our district. You walk in, you have a world-class experience in a smaller setting. So it's not about size. It's about attention to detail. It's about customer service. It's about the quality of the product.
Kimberly, so I guess following up along those lines, how do you, as the CEO of the Magnificent Mile Association, kind of ensure that the Mag Mile always remains or continues to remain Chicago-centric, Illinois-centric, and doesn't just become more generic? I mean, obviously, there's the big box stores or the national chains, and they're going to have a presence. I get that. But how do you encourage more uniquely Chicago, uniquely Illinois businesses to set up shop on the Mag Mile?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we did this past holiday season was bring in two local operators. Now, many of our operators are local. And if I were to list all of them, it would be a long list. But our boat operators are local. They're family-owned, in fact. We've got Garrett Popcorn. We've got Harry Carey's Restaurant. I mean, it's a long, long list of local Chicago, or I should say Chicago. but we also did this really interesting pop-up experiment at the end of 2021, and we had two local operators come in. One was Beet Kitchen, Robert Gomez, who owns Beet Kitchen throughout Chicago. He's a Wicker Park and Westtown local, and Colores Mexicanos, and they've been a vendor on the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk is replete with local operators. And we were fortunate enough to be able to bring both of them to the Avenue and have them do pop-ups for a month and a half, 2 months. And so that was really wonderful. And Colores Mexicanos has continued. They've extended their lease. They're now at 605 North Michigan Avenue for the next 6 months. We hope to keep them. And you can't find more local than Colores Mexicanos. We've got it.
Kimberly, thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck. And, I'm a neighbor. I walk up and down the Mag Mile all the time. So thank you so much for the work you're doing.
All right, let's meet out sometime.
Here. I'm all for it. You can show me the hidden side of the Mag Mile. That's what I'm really looking for. She's Kimberly Mars, the CEO of the Magnificent Mile Association. And a good morning to you. A happy Thursday. Bruce and Judy with you. We're going to see some showers off and on all day long today. It's actually unseasonably cold. It's a little bit cooler than normal, I guess you'd say 10 degrees under.
I heard the word flurries and I tuned out. Yeah, possible. Just a little light, some lightness.
I spell it, but that's a four.
I would ignore
word.
It if it comes down.
Yeah, just ignore it. Good idea with that. Hey, joining us right now, he is the outdoors columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. It's our buddy Dale Bowman. Dale, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Great to have you on with us today. And this little cold snap notwithstanding, hey, people are getting out and about. People are sportsmen and hunters are out and about, and it is turkey season. When is turkey season?
The first youth season statewide is this weekend. The next one is next weekend, and then the South zone opens up April 4th, and the North zone opens up April 11th.
All right.
Do people hunt turkeys to eat or just for sport?
Both.
Okay.
But, the main part is it's sport.
Okay. Because those turkeys don't look too good. They don't look like the ones I want to eat.
They don't look like a butterball to you?
They look mean and scrawny.
The last one I got, I saved it for Thanksgiving, and I got good advice on how to cook it. But the part is they don't have the fat and the moisture of a farm raised.
Right.
And they're much tougher. I mean, these are birds that are actually running around in the woods. They're not just wobbling around in a feed yard.
Right, waiting for the next meal.
Yeah, yes.
So talk to me about, help me understand turkey hunting. I've never been on a turkey hunt. Do you get people using like compound bows as well as firearms? Is there a style that you prefer?
Yes, most people gun hunt with them, but really good archers do go for them. In archery, you are allowed to use a bow and arrow to get them.
Wow.
The trick to it is you want to locate the birds, and that's there are search calls. Like one of the owls makes a call that is, "Hoo-hoo, who cooks for you? Hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo." You've been outside, you've heard it.
I love that.
The reason you do that is turkeys respond to that in the dark, and then you can kind of vaguely locate them.
Interesting.
And then you try and set up in range and then call them in, literally call them in, and act like you're in a seductive hen or something, and then bring them in.
I'm just getting this vision of you as a seductive turkey hen. I just really,
in the dark, yeah. No less. Where are these turkeys?
Well, frankly, they're in every county in Illinois now. You can't hunt them in every county, but we have them in all 102 counties, including the city of Chicago sporadically. I always enjoy when a reader sends a shot of a turkey wandering around.
I hope it finds its way to Jewel.
So not only is it, not only are we talking turkey. I try to work that in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Spring trout fishing is getting ready to kick off. How good is the trout this year?
Well, they're stocked rainbow. Illinois no longer has native trout left in our waters.
Really?
The brook trout had basically disappeared. We used to have a smattering of brook trout around the state many years ago. But what this is stocked rainbow trout, and they're put in various lakes and ponds. Like Cook County has 6, DuPage County has 3 lakes are put in, Lake County has 1, Will County has 1 or 2. I should remember that. I don't remember. But, I mean, they're scattered around, and they draw phenomenal interest. And part of the reason is if you take kids out, you actually have a pretty good shot at catching one. They're not real hard to catch. You can catch them on a multitude of methods. Right now, we only have what they call the early catch and release season going, and that's only at 9 sites around the state. Only a couple of them are near Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And what that started out as fly fishing, and then for some legalese reason, they had to change the wording to early catch and release. So
All right. That
one, you still need the inland trout stamp to do that, but that is more just for sport. The actual season opens up on April 2, and that's the one where you can keep 5 of them, and they're tremendously good eating fish. I mean, it's trout.
And it cracks me up when you say you can limit of 5. I never catch one fish. I limit a 5
so
a day. Yeah, exactly. But as you said, since we stock now, maybe it is a lot easier to catch. And there's nothing like catching a fish, I have to say.
Yes, you're right. And I am serious. This is actually a pretty good thing. You can catch them. I mean, they're coming relatively. They're only a couple weeks of coming out of the hatchery where they're used to being fed. So, I mean, they're what they call trout bait. That's little things that are that you can put on, little spinners, tiny minnows, little pieces of worm. About anything you put under a float and get it out, if you're in the right area, you're going to catch them.
You're going to hit.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. Dale, we appreciate your time. And if for no other reason than I know that it makes Nick Gale insanely jealous to know that there is a job. There is a job to do hunting and fishing, and Dale Bowman has that job. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Dale.
And a good morning to you. A happy Thursday. Here's what's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Get ready to come on down. The Price is Right is going on tour. Find out how you can get into your own showcase showdown at 8:45.
The CEO of Goldman Sachs has made his latest acquisition. It's a slot at Lollapalooza.
What?
We'll talk about that. And what's your secret talent at 8:30?
And in just a few minutes, we'll tell you how a few balloons can help the children of Ukraine. But first, is it time to put the Oscars out of their misery? The awards show, which once represented the height of achievement in film, has become an absolute shadow of its former self. Will you even bother watching it all? It's this Sunday, by the way. It's sneaking up on you. Let us know at 312-591-8900. So I don't know, anything comes as a surprise anymore. So I'm a member of a variety of different film critics associations. I see lots of movies. They're now starting to come back. I've got multiple screenings, 2-3 a week now. They're kind of getting back into the swing of things. So maybe this year, maybe get to 60 or 70 movies. A normal pre-pando year, I was at 100 some odd movies. I didn't watch the Oscars. I voted. I voted for in my individual things. I voted for Best Actor. I voted. I was involved in all those. I didn't actually watch the show because I find the show to be boring.
Well, and there, what are we up to now? Like 15?
15 what?
15 movies in a category? You know, but no.
It used to be five. For Best Picture, it used to be five. Now it can be up to 10, but does not need to be 10.
Okay. Ooh. So, well, when it is 10, it's 10 times more boring.
Brenda Cronin wrote at the Wall Street Journal, put the Oscars out of their misery. Award shows aren't worth watching any longer, because I throw other award shows in with that. I think award shows in and of themselves have become a little too weird. And what has changed?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I used to love watching the Oscars.
They used to have Oscar parties.
I used to go to Oscar parties.
Okay.
It was a thing. And that was a thing. Was fun.
It's like the Super Bowl.
It's not like, you know, when you have a party. Exactly. You kind of just sort of watch. But I mean, there was a time where we used to watch every second of the Oscars.
Right.
It was fun to watch. It was funny. They had a great host. Things went quickly. You know, things happened. People did somersaults on stage.
So they what changed?
I don't know.
Well, Bob Hope died.
Oh,
ouch.
For God's sake. No.
I'm gonna bring that up.
I mean, that was way back when. No. But I mean, I'm saying even a couple years ago, I think the world changed. I think we changed and said we don't, because we did love the Oscars at one point.
I think
the same thing.
I think movies changed. And I think how we watch movies changed. And you know, we've touched on this before, where a lot of the films that are even nominated this year, just take this year alone, were streaming at your home. You didn't see them in a theater. There wasn't that kind of communal, we all are in it together. We all saw Star Wars in the movie theater. We all saw Jaws in the movie theater and jumped when the dang shark came out of the water. Like, there isn't that kind of a shared experience.
And so it's kind of downgraded when it's on TV. It's not the same. It's not, I guess. And you might be right. That might be it. I mean, you know, I used to like sit and anticipate, like, who's going to win Best Actor? I mean, it was, I enjoyed it. I was into it. And I think it maybe was a little bit of a slower process, not just boom, all of a sudden after a couple years we're done. It was, you know, they started to get weird sometimes, the winners. They started to say stuff and you're like, all right.
Well, they knew everyone was watching.
Right. And so that was their moment to, you know, go on and on about their own specific personal, you know, story or what they were supporting, and that's fine, but it almost, I think it turned people off.
I there's no doubt. I think it did. This year also, much to Steven Spielberg's ire, they have pre-recorded 8 of the winners. So they'll be pre-recorded so they can edit them down, I'm assuming, in some way, shape, or form, right? And he's upset about it. Because he thinks if they're not getting it live, it doesn't count
because of course, what are they pre-recording? It's not, you know, Best Picture. It's, you know, production design, sound, makeup, hairstyle. I don't have
money on those.
Yeah, but you know what? Those people work hard, too.
I'm not saying they don't work hard.
No, but I'm saying, why shouldn't they get their moment at the Oscars? Why should they be pre-recorded?
Well, they are. They can be pre-recorded.
They're pre-recorded. No, it's not the same. They're not as important as what it's saying. To me, that's what it says. Hey, film editing? Come on. I mean, why is film editing not as important as who produces the movie?
Yeah.
You're the producer? What does that mean? Money.
Yeah, it means nothing, really. What do producers do?
Film editing? That's the guy sitting in the dark editing that film.
The numbers, the ratings numbers, when you go back to the 80s, you're talking about 50 plus million people watching the Academy Awards. Last year, it was down around 15 million.
Wow.
12, 15?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about how big the drop
if
is,
you
right?
didn't watch the Oscars, there was something wrong with you. You were like, what do you mean? What do you didn't? Now you just said the Oscars are Sunday?
The Sunday.
I had no idea.
Hey, Doug and Waukegan, what's your issue with it?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I have a friend who was a cameraman out of college, and so I started watching when he was involved with some of that.
Sure.
But I get to, for what I think happened is, it went from a focus on the people involved in the movies and the movies themselves to a political platform where everybody felt obligated to get up there and spill their piece about whatever cause of the moment it was.
It was kind of like a keeping up with the Joneses. Because they did it, I got to do it.
Exactly. And I think that whole thing just kind of devolved the whole process into, why should I watch? They're just going to sit there and prattle on about their favorite thing.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you, Doug. And I think Doug's point is, you know, if last year's best actor, used his time, his exception time to spay and neuter your pets. Mm-hmm. I just can't get away from Bob Barker today. You feel like you've got to do the same thing. You know, like, well, I can't waste my however much time I have on stage. I got to do it. I got to use it.
And maybe we just don't, I don't care about the actors as much. At 312-591-8900, are you going to watch the Oscars? And by that I mean, I can remember, I have memories still of people who've won over the years.
Really?
You know, like the past 30 years, say. But, and they were big, they were like, you know, Jack Nicholson, and because they made some funny remark or they did something funny or
unique.
But they were also like these superstars, right? Back in the day. I don't know, who's a superstar today?
So maybe that's part of it. Well, it's not that there aren't superstars, it's that there's so many of them.
Is that it?
I think there's just
maybe we
don't have superstars as well. George Clooney, is he a super? No.
When was the last time George Clooney was nominated for a
Brad Pitt?
Now Brad Pitt. Okay, that is a good one, and he has been. Yeah. George Clooney hasn't been in the Oscars for
just
a while.
Standing on
and
good
I
looking.
Shouldn't say that because I don't watch.
He's trying to sell some Nespresso pods. Okay,
you know why he's very busy with his Italian wife and their twins.
He's got booze, doesn't he? Have the
A tequila?
A tequila or vodka or something
he's
like
selling
that.
Something to get me drunk.
And you know what? He is a superstar. But
yes.
Again, George Clooney. He's I think of him on TV as well. While he's a superstar, it's just not a superstar in the same vein as a Jack Nicholson. Say.
But some of the biggest box office draws, The Rock, who also has a TV show.
Yeah, and I wouldn't.
Who's also a wrestler? You know what I'm saying? Like, who also does all these other things? Like, it's not just you used to be a movie star. You were Cary Grant. You were Cary Grant 24/7. You wore a tuxedo when you woke up in the morning, and you did movies. And that's what you did.
You only did movies, and sometimes you only did Hitchcock movies. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't show up in a TV commercial.
Right.
You wouldn't do a television program unless you were on The Tonight Show as a guest. You know?
And maybe that's
We've diluted, I think, to a certain extent.
Diluted, that's a good word.
Oh, I hope it means what I think it means. The Schluffballons. Hey, good morning to you, and happy Thursday, Bruce and Judy, with you. We are talking about the Luftballons. All 99 such Luftballon. Joining us right now is Elaine Fry, the owner of Luftballons. Elaine, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No, but my husband does. So
fair enough. Okay, I wasn't sure. You even have the Fry spelled in the Germanic way. Yes.
Yep.
Talk to me first off. We've had you on before, but I don't want everyone to assume they understand what Luftballons is. Tell me a little bit about your shop.
Sure. So we are a balloon company in Chicago that is dedicated to bringing the joy through the art of the balloon. Basically, we're trying to use it as a medium that brings joy, whether through activism or just for your simple birthday party.
Because balloons just make people happy.
Yeah.
You got it. Yes. It's very simple.
So obviously a lot of folks are looking to try to help, looking towards Ukraine, and you are doing something pretty unique with your fantastic blue and yellow balloons. Please tell us.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we're all trying to figure out how we can help, and we feel helpless still. And, you know, it's easy to donate, and it feels good in that moment, but you kind of still feel like, is that enough? And so we thought, could we marry activism with donations. And so we created a burst of yellow and blue balloons that you can put outside your house. So it kind of, or your business, or back of your Zoom call, and just kind of unite camaraderie. And then 100% of those profits we donate to UNICEF for Ukrainian children. So you kind of get a lasting impact.
Now, Elaine, you are a businesswoman. How are you donating 100% of the profits?
Because that's part of our mission. We recently became B Corp certified, and it's just one of our things that we do. I believe in small business that can do things for good, and it'll come back, you know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. I see so many more homes now with the Ukrainian flag flying.
Or colors, or colors, a poster,
yeah.
Or
so,
something.
And I'm looking at your balloon display here. It's beautiful. We've got big balloons paired up with little ones, all blue and yellow. It's fun.
It. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So, again, we're talking to Elaine Fry, the owner of Luftballoons, where you can right now support Ukrainian children, specifically UNICEF for Ukrainian children, mm-hmm. and have a balloon bouquet.
Nice.
Well, what else do I call it?
It's a balloon. Right. But now, is this going to float away?
No, so it's luckily...
am I going to float away if I'm holding it?
Exactly, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, no, they're made with air. So that's why we attach them to the outside of your house or business. And that's part of the service and the fee included when you get delivery. But they're made with air, so we're not using helium for this.
Wait a minute, Elaine.
That's
you just said you're gonna. So I order my Luftballons. I'm supporting Ukraine with my beautiful bouquet of yellow and blue. You will come and deliver / attach them?
Correct.
Wow. That's a thing.
We make it an easy way to stay connected.
Absolutely.
You know, we really put humanity first. You know, this whole world, the pandemic's taught us, like, we need to stay connected. And so we're using that balloon as a visual connector with cause.
You are bringing joy with balloons.
I have to ask, though, what do most people order balloons for? Aside from this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What's the number one thing?
You know, probably birthdays. You know, everyone's got a birthday every day. But the crazy thing is that we're trying to get you to look at the balloon to send it in lieu of cupcakes or flowers. So we're launching this whole balloon line that's called Say It With Balloons. And so, you know, dude, she sucks. You know, somebody breaks up with you, or I just hit cancer. You know, I just hit cancer. Or I just hit, you know.
It's a girl. It's a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So. You'd be surprised. Like, we're trying to make you use it in every way, shape, and form, because they really do channel that inner nostalgia.
It's very unique, and it's fresh. And you're right. Anywhere you could send flowers, you could send a balloon bouquet, and Luftballons is doing just that.
And I can't. Yeah. I'm just now envisioning my whole block of houses with this Ukrainian balloon display on them. I mean, it would look so cool if everyone did it.
I know. Tell everyone. Get one. We'll deliver one for
you. That is what we are doing right now, Elaine.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's not lost on us that all of the proceeds go, 100% of the profit goes to UNICEF for Ukrainian children, that Elaine Fry at Luftballons is not doing it to line her own pockets, that this actually goes directly to help children in Ukraine.
Sure.
And Elaine, thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys having me.
One more time, how can people order there?
Where do they go?
Where do they go?
Sure. So you can go to Luft, L-U, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, balloonstore.com. And it's right there on the homepage. You can't miss it. We make it really easy. Just click and order.
Sehr gut. Dankeschön.
Danke.
All right.
Thanks for giving back.
Yeah. Elaine Fry with Luftballons. And again, you can support Ukraine with... And it's fantastic. Here's what I like about it. You can go online, and again, you can go to luftballoonstore.com and see it. But the visual is different sized balloons. So it almost looks like bubbles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all the yellows and the blues, but they're all a little bit different sized. And so it has this almost like a piece of art.
Right. Well, you know what? I want to eat it. I look at it and I think candy. It's
okay.
So visual. It's so delicious
vibrant.
Looking, yes, that I'm like, I could eat that. I'm looking at, and you really need to go on and look at the pictures. It's kind of stunning. It's not kind of, it is stunning when you see some of the displays are huge. And it's just all balloons.
I'll tweet it out for you guys right now. You want to check it out, go to the Bruce St. James over at the Twitter machine, and you can see pictures of it. But first, Nick Gale is going to get us all up to speed on some free gas this morning, and maybe the traffic surrounding it.
Yeah, Willie Wilson started to give out free gas this morning at 7 o'clock. Cars started lining up at 6:30, even before then in some areas. So there is a bit of traffic out there surrounding these areas where these gas stations are located. We'll tell you all about it next. But first, the WLS Weather Channel forecast with meteorologist Ray Stajic.
Third day in a row, measurable precipitation. It looks like we're going to get today. Probably have another one tomorrow, and I think it'll end. Precipitation anyway, but it'll end tomorrow night. May end as some flurries and snow showers. Yeah, that's right. I said flurries and snow showers. Today, 45 periods of rain and showers. A little breeze around, too. Overnight tonight, 38. Some showers early. Now we're dry tomorrow morning. Showers come back in the afternoon. A gusty west wind, 47. Rain showers.
And a good morning to you. A happy Thursday. Bruce and Judy with you. It's going to be some rain off and on all day long. I know.
If you see any flurries, ignore them.
Just ignore it. It's not happening.
Be gone soon. Nope.
This isn't real.
Nope.
But, you know, yesterday we were looking forward to Lollapalooza coming up in the summertime where it might rain, but it's certainly not going to be this darn cold. And
I'm still considering the $4,200 ticket.
There is that. Yeah. Well, again, it'll be a hell of an experience. Let us know how it goes.
You get shade with that one. It's called a tree.
You? Yes, you get a tree. You don't get to take home, unfortunately. And we actually had our friend Lauren O'Neill from our sister station on talking about some of the acts on there. But, you know, we kind of missed out on one of the big acts.
I'm surprised she didn't mention this one.
Well, you know, when you talk about some of the acts and you talk about, like, if they're, you know, like how much money they make and, you know, these music stars, this guy might be one of the richest artists playing. But his money doesn't come from music.
Mm-mm.
The CEO of Goldman Sachs, the chief executive officer, David Solomon, DJs on the side.
You may have heard of him.
DJ Desol.
Desol. Now he just uses his name.
Right.
Because he obviously wants people to know who he is.
He got added to the Lollapalooza. So the CEO of Goldman Sachs is going to be DJing a set at Lollapalooza.
Okay. So is that what he does? He's by DJ, you mean he plays the music?
Yeah.
He puts the music on. He doesn't actually play the music, right?
He's with an instrument, turntables.
Right, turntables.
Yes. Okay. And DJs.
I don't think anyone did that anymore.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
That's if it goes horribly wrong for DJ Desol. It made me think a little bit, but yeah, think about this. This guy is the CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Right.
Okay?
And he worked at Hampton's charity event in July 2020,
where he
spun electronic dance beats.
Of course he did. He's an EDM DJ.
Grand, yeah. Which, by the way, was for charity. So he doesn't need the money.
No, Gary, he does not need the money.
It's his passion, though. It's his hobby.
He's 60 years old, and he has a passion for this music. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a secret, you know, I guess. I guarantee you, there's still people that probably deal with the CEO of Goldman Sachs on a daily basis that don't know on the weekends. You know, he puts on a tight black t-shirt, goes over and stands behind some turntables.
You know, I'm looking at him, though, even with the t-shirt on. He looks like a banker.
He looks like a banker mixing, yeah.
He's got one of those banker faces.
He has a banker face.
Yeah, nice face, but yeah. But you know what? God, good for him. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, it's a hobby. If you're getting paid for it, it's not a hobby. I mean, it's basically like his what do you want to call it? Alter ego? A second life? It actually is kind of cool because you got to think about it. You know, you hear about all these people that get stuck in dead-end jobs. You know what I really want to do is blank. DJ Desol
is doing it.
I think he's doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a gig. I have to wear a suit every day and sit in an office and, you know, this, that, and the other and investor calls. But then on the weekends, he doesn't have any hair, or I'd say let your hair down. He gets to go and DJ. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Do we have? Is that his music?
No, it most certainly.
No, that is Beck.
Yeah, but he's D Saul. We probably would have something.
DJ D Saul.
I think he plays other people's music.
Oh, okay. So now I kind of want to go to Lollapalooza just to see him.
Yeah.
I'll yell out CEO.
Yeah, sure. He likes that.
How's my portfolio doing, buddy?
You think exactly. That's what's going on backstage? So, like, all the other artists are there, you know, because Green Day is playing and Metallica. Yeah. And you know, like, hey, yeah, we're ready. We're rock and roll. And they go over to him and go, okay, seriously, my 401k has gone to hell in a handbasket. How are we doing? What are we going to do with this? You know, yeah. He's giving a lot of, like, financial advice backstage, you know. Like, yeah, he's got a line of people. Like, I got to be the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Yeah. This guy's going to make me money.
You've got 4 o'clock. Make it quick.
Yeah. Oh, be on stage, dude.
That's a good idea. I love people following their passions.
Right?
I think that's really fun.
Yeah, and I mean, it's everyone's got a dream, right? If you didn't get to have your dream when you were younger, maybe you can still make it work a little bit. Right? You become a banker, CEO of Goldman Sachs, but you know what? I always wanted to kind of do the...
I always wanted to DJ.
The turntables.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
Scratch, 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 whatever that's called.
I've always told people, because when you hear people say that, you know, well, here's what I do, but here's what I always wanted to do. And I know it doesn't help, but I always say, well, then why aren't you doing it? Well, then why don't you do it? And you hear all the excuses of why you can't. I'm like, yeah, I'm still waiting for a good reason as to why you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I wanted to, as a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, a firefighter, and a race car driver. I've done two of them. I'm still waiting to be launched into space. And I'm willing to go. That's Elon Musk, by the way. I'm willing to go. You could if they told me tomorrow, were you ready to get launched into space? Go, absolutely. I'm ready. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. But what's stopping you?
I think people get in their heads that they have to be the best. And that's the thing is that...
obviously, I'm none of those.
Sure.
But that's a good point.
Some people think that if they're going to have a hobby, well, they have to be the best at the hobby.
They have to be full in.
Yeah,
you know?
You can learn to play the piano. You don't have to be Mozart.
A virtuoso.
You don't have to play it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That, you know, that is true. I loved being on stage in my younger years. And then time got the better of me, family, kids, whatever. But I often thought, well, I'll just do community theater.
Okay.
Well, then I didn't do that.
No.
And now I'm like, all right, well, maybe I can be like an extra in some shows they do in Chicago.
Well, Bruce, you're saying they're shooting a little Chicago Med over there.
They shoot every day. It seems like they're shooting something here in downtown.
Across the street with purpose, like nobody's business.
Yeah, and just talk your way onto the set. You need me. Right?
Just show up in a high vis, you know, jacket. No one ever questions.
No one will say anything.
Get in the back of the shot. Just walk across.
Yeah.
You know, there you go.
I need to go somewhere.
Who was that?
Yeah.
But, you know, we get in our heads of things that have to stop us. And it's not just about, it's not money driven. Because a lot of people's dreams have anything to do with money, you know. I just always thought being a firefighter would be kind of cool. And so I went and I did ride-alongs and I went and did some EMT training and, you know, just kind of like got along on those lines until I was like, that's super cool. I liked being in a fire station. That was neat.
Did you fight a fire?
I ran into a fire. There were. I got to tell you, this is the sneaky little thing about firefighters. There's very few fires. There's just not enough stuff catches on fire. There's a hell of a lot of car crashes. There's a hell of a lot of elderly person down. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that.
I can see the poor firefighter shows up with the big hose and the. You know, the owner's like, I put it out with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Like, foiled again by the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. It's not often you get a raging fire with 30-foot flames out the roof.
I just, even holding that hose is hard.
So here's the funny thing. And I remember, I think it was, and this was a car accident, but it happened with fire as well. So we get a call for a multiple vehicle car accident and it comes across the radio with extrication. So we know that because we have people that are trained to use the tools to cut the roof off the car and stuff like that, the Hirsch tool and whatnot. So it's with extrication. And it was my first time going out on a call like that. And the other guys were so excited. Woo! They were running so fast to the truck and they were jumping. And I go, that's kind of sick. Why are you guys so excited? You guys are excited that we have to cut somebody out of a car? And they go, no, you misunderstand. They said, we know that accidents like that are going to happen. We just want them to happen on our shift because we want to be able to use the skills we've been trying, we've been practicing. I want to actually do it.
The jaws of life.
And so same thing with a fire. You don't hope for a fire. You just hope a fire happens when you're on the engine. You know, you just want to be able to do it. So DJ Diesel, the Goldman Sachs CEO, will be DJing a set at Lolla this year, chasing his dream. You know, he's going to fall back just in case. You know, the whole Goldman Sachs thing doesn't
If he can do it, you can do it.
And a good morning to you. A well, happy Thursday, for goodness sakes. It's Bruce and Judy with you. Hopefully you haven't lost on Jeopardy very often, all right? Hopefully you haven't, for goodness sakes. But speaking of game shows, pretty impressive anniversary coming up. The Price is Right will be celebrating 50 years on TV. It is the longest running game show in television history. Absolutely. And they're going to be taking the show on the road, if you will. Traveling America. It's called the Come On Down Tour. I don't have a Chicago date. Do you have a Chicago date? I was looking for one.
Yeah, I don't know if they announced it yet.
Yeah, they have some of the
closest
dates out
there.
Closest
one is St. Louis coming up. You know, if you want to play, you're going to have to drive.
Yeah. Have you, was this a favorite show of yours?
I like The Price is Right, but I didn't watch it that much.
I
could never get the right prices.
Yeah, but it's a guess.
Unlike, no, it's not.
It's a complete
unlike
guess.
You, I look at the prices of things. Now, I just read here, though, that
$1.
These prices... These prices, don't forget, folks, are based on prices in California.
Where everything's more expensive?
Where everything's more expensive. So I probably would be shocked. I would guess, you know, well, that should cost $2 and it would be $7.
You know, I didn't realize it at the time because I haven't watched Prices Right in a while. I don't, it's kind of fallen out of the habit. But I did, I watched it a lot when Bob Barker was around, you know. And I only recently realized, you know, the big wheel? Beep, 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 trying to get the window. Mm-hmm. You know, the big wheel.
Yeah.
That's how I feel now. On all these websites that make me put in the year of my birth. I feel like it just reminds me of the big wheel. I'm like, I got all the way down. Can't believe it. I got to go scroll all the way down to my
head. Oh, right, because they have...
I feel like I'm on the big wheel again. It's the only thing I can compare it to.
And that the wheel just keeps going around and around.
Mountain hiker going up the mountain, right? I can't remember what the name of that game was called.
Cliffhangers.
There was Plinko. Remember Plinko?
Plinko's you had good.
The Plinko game. Okay. The Price is Right was a part of American culture. It still is
absolutely.
A part.
Absolutely, yeah. People still watch it every day.
So this is like Drew Carey's full-time job now?
Yeah, it is.
This is all he does.
Wait, where's Bob Barker?
Well, somewhere, probably spaying a dog or two, you know.
I met Bob one time, Mr. Bark, dear Mr. God, Bark. Like I would call him Bob. I met at a New Year's Eve party in L.A., and he walked, it was a heavy room. There were a lot of kind of celebrities and Bob Barker walked in, shut the place down. People like, and he is so put together. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like his hair is perfect. Like everything about Bob Barker is perfect.
Yeah, he is a host, I think, is what made that show.
He was
so
really
popular.
Good as a host.
Yeah, he was. He's always smiling. He never demeaned people. He and naturally, you're going to, if you can't be, that's why Drew Carey, sometimes I wonder, I haven't seen, is that who you said host now?
Drew Carey is the host.
Yeah. Because I just feel like if you make fun of the contestants in any way or make them feel stupid.
Bob never made fun of them directly.
No, but he laughed with, maybe his look, but, you know, he laughed with them.
Okay, Carol.
I'm Steven. 780. 780. Tammy?
What was the last bid?
780.
781.
F*** you.
$1. Ooh, just keep going $1, back to $1.
Right?
Going back to $1 all the time.
Have you seen all the memes lately with the... I forgot, flew out of my head the name of the game show everyone watches now. With the words, you got to guess the words.
What, Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune. I could be a contestant. Oh, my gosh. It was like the phrase would be Wheel of Fortune, and all that was missing was the W, and they're like...
People, yeah, can't get
Meal
it.
Of Fortune, right. Heel
yeah,
of Fortune.
Yeah, because they had the
Are
thing a couple
me?
Weeks ago where they just kept, everybody lost on... It was a very simple phrase.
It was
phrase.
So ridiculous. Yeah.
And no one could do it with missing one letter. Oof. I've been on the set of Wheel of Fortune. It was
How
across
big
the
is
street.
That screen? I want to know.
It's not as big. Nothing is as big when you're there in person. You look at it and you're like, oh my God, it looks so much bigger on TV. Bruce. Everything is smaller. So yeah, the Wheel of Fortune was filmed across the street from where I worked in LA. So I had a friend that worked on the show, and so I got to go there. And I got to flip a couple letters around. Just I wanted to be
okay,
Vanna White for a day. Yeah. I thought
did
that would
be special. Did you stand like her into
I most
the
certainly
whole...
did not. Okay. No doubt.
We all imitate Vanna.
Get you one of those nice
yeah.
dresses. Yeah. And be like, yes, I'll take a vowel.
Yes. Is there an E?
There
hey, maybe that's
three.
One of the reasons you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Don't worry, Judy says she's doing it for you right now.
Okay, well, the war in Ukraine, as we all know, is devastating, but the outpouring of support is really inspiring. A dog transport company is helping to feed dogs in the war-torn country after collecting nearly 11,000 pounds worth of food. That company has dropped off the supplies at the Polish border with owner Matthew Hunt, delivering it in his specialized dog van crammed to the roof with food and with plans to make the trip once a week. Now, soccer legend David Beckham has given control of his Instagram account with more than 71 million followers to the head of a regional perinatal center, Irina, working 24/7 to help mothers give birth safely in one of the conflict's hottest zones. Jose Andres, the founder of World Central Kitchen, has set up an emergency relief kitchen just a few miles from the border of with Ukraine. It's receiving tens of thousands of refugees every day in 12 massive paella pans and 12 large ovens. They are cooking hundreds of thousands of meals.
Wow.
A 32-year-old Polish veterinarian has launched a rescue trip into the war zone. He runs a no-kill animal shelter in Poland, just 30 minutes from the border. And, of course, we've all heard a number of celebrities are using their fortunes and their platforms to support relief for Ukrainians.
Hear, hear. Lots of people doing well.
Yep.
Or you can get balloons from
Exactly. Balloons
from
Luft.
Do it that way, right? Luftballons. Thank you very much for restoring our faith in humanity. Also, thanks a lot to MG and the posse in Mission Control. They hit all the buttons and make things happen. Appreciate that. Infant producer Miranda is on the other side of the double pane bulletproof glass. DJ Tom, hush your mouth over there, working the ones and twos all morning long. And Nick Gale, who's sticking around with the news, traffic, weather, information, everything you need to know. He's got it packaged together for you, and it's coming up next right here on 890 WLS.